All right. Hi, everyone. We're here for the second presentation of the of our cannabis presentations today. And we're here with David Modell, the Chief Analyst and Opportunity Researcher at Portfolio Wealth Global. He's also active on Twitter and YouTube and has a blog spot where he posts a lot of information. So he has a great presentation for everyone today. And I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for inviting me to the Holloweed event. That's a great name. Holloweed. Love it. Wish I'd come up with that. That's great. And hope to come back to do this on a regular basis. Thanks everybody for stopping by. I really appreciate it. Today's presentation is called Cannabis Stocks, Building a Position That Won't Go Up in Smoke. And it's presented by me, David Modell. And throughout this presentation, you'll see at the bottom of the screen that you can contact me if you want more help. I do offer coaching for traders and investors. And my email address is David Modell, MODELL@gmail.com. And I also have a little blog over at Blogspot, davidmodell.blogspot.com. And I've helped a lot of people and will continue to do so. And so let's go ahead and get started. All right. First, my quick disclaimer. I'm going to let you read that for a few seconds because we always want to be cautious. Remember, any decisions you make in regards to trading or investing are your decisions. Don't do anything just because I recommend it or because anybody recommends it. You have to do it solely based on your own discretion. So do your research, do your due diligence. It's really ultimately your decision as to what you do or not do in the financial markets. And any decision you make is subject to capital loss. So please be aware of that. All right. That's my little disclaimer. Had to do it. All right. About me. Who the heck is this guy? Who am I? Well, I'm an investor and trader and educator and coach for over 20 years. I have a master's degree in education. I was a fifth grade teacher in what seems like a former life. And I also taught high school English, and I taught at several career colleges. I was the general ed guy. So I have a YouTube channel called Looking at the Markets with David Modell, and I have over 500 videos now on there and nearly 40,000 YouTube subscribers. So it's growing pretty fast. And these videos are free to watch right now. So I invite you to go over to youtube.com. Not right now. Wait till the presentation's over. Or wait till all the presentations are over, I should say, for Holloweed. And type my name, David Modell, MODEL, into the YouTube search box, and you'll find plenty of free videos to watch, not only on cannabis stocks, but on all sorts of aspects of trading and investing. So check that out by all means. I'm also the chief analyst and researcher at Portfolio Wealth Global, located at portfoliowealthglobal.com. Lots of free reports there, cool stuff, a newsletter. By all means, check that out. I also write regularly for investorplace.com, crushthestreet.com, marketrealist.com. I wear many hats. I do many things. So hopefully that established a little bit of credibility. What are you going to learn today in the presentation? Today you will learn the outlook for the cannabis sector, specifically US and Canada, although I'll also touch upon how global this phenomenon really is. I'll talk about diversifying across regions and subsectors in the cannabis space. And if that sounds complicated, I'll break it down for you today. I'll be evaluating cannabis companies, specific ones that I like, and I'll even be mentioning the cannabis companies on my own personal watch list. Again, this is not a recommendation to buy or sell anything. It's just what I'm looking at. Let's start with a little quiz question just for fun. True or false, what do you think? There are more cannabis dispensaries in Colorado, state of Colorado, than Starbucks coffee shops there. I'll give you a few seconds to think about that. Well, here's the answer. It might surprise you. Oh, actually, there are people in the chat. Let me check out the chat. Okay. From Herb, or is it Herb? It is Holloweed after all. He says true. There you go. Well, the answer is actually true. So Herb, or Herb, as the case may be, was correct in that one. There are more cannabis dispensaries in Colorado than Starbucks coffee shops. And there's practically a Starbucks coffee shop on every corner, it seems at least, right? So it really is it's growing like a weed, growing like an herb. Cannabis facts. The cannabis market in North America will be estimated to reach as much as $47 billion with a B $50 throughout the next 10 years. This number is up from the almost $10 billion it currently stands at. The past year has seen an over 30% gain in the amount of cannabis sales in North America. That's from ArcView, which is a very highly respected research firm. I'll be using them probably more than once today. So there's a little chart for you. Support for legal use among Americans. Look how much it's grown. Look at that. Just throughout the year, support for legalization in America is up to 65% now. That's about two out of three. Not too bad. I mean, that was unimaginable. Unimaginable back when I was a kid, and around a quarter of the population supported it. It was almost unthinkable at the time. Canada's legalizing of cannabis has added another $5 billion in sales annually. And Uruguay, see, a lot of people think Canada was first. Uruguay, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, I probably butchered that one. I'll butcher a lot of things today, probably. Legalized the adult recreational use of cannabis first. Then came Canada. Hopefully the United States soon enough. Hopefully. Mexico is also working on it. It's going through their legal system right now. So Mexico might beat the United States. Probably will, at the rate they're going. But in the United States, support for legalizing marijuana has hit that all-time high. I mean, should the use of marijuana be made legal or not? The people who wanted it banned has just declined over time drastically. The people who want it legalized has reversed upwards. But what about Canada? Well, in the Great White North, 22% of the population consumes marijuana recreationally. That's a lot of people. 7% consume it daily. I'm not saying I recommend that for everybody, okay? But it's just a fact. As an investor, you want to be aware of these things. And for some people, medically, it makes sense to do that. 30% of young adults consume marijuana recreationally. Total estimated market, nearly 40% of the population, or around 12 million people. That's according to Deloitte Research, another highly respected firm that does analytics. The industry is, in collective stocks, said to be worth a whopping $30 billion. That number is going to grow, in my estimation. That leaves it with the capability of sales concerning cannabis-based products to reach a staggering $200 billion over the next 15 years. I'd like to make a part of that, wouldn't you? In the United States, cannabis sales have already hit $50 billion a year. Again, I think that'll expand over time. Here's another quiz question, interesting fact. Not a quiz question this time, although there may be another quiz question coming soon. In 1975, the Alaska Supreme Court ruled in Raven, versus State that the right to possess, cultivate, and consume small amounts of marijuana in the home was legal. Bet you didn't know that. Yeah, Alaska was actually ahead of the game in terms of decriminalization. That was only in your home, though. Couldn't take it outside at the time. Sales estimates of recreational cannabis in Canada. This is in Canadian dollars. $4.6 billion in sales in 2019, estimated. $7.4 billion sales estimated or projected by 2024. $0.5 to $1.5 billion Canadian export market in 2019 from Canada to nations like Germany, Italy, Finland, Czech Republic. That's according to PI Financial Corp, another respected source. So yes, it is global. It's not just contained to North America. And the grass is looking greener. I'm full of puns today. How could you not be full of puns on Halloween? I mean, that right there is a pun. Projected legal and illegal sales of cannabis from 2016 to projected 2026. As we can see here, a few years ago, it was mostly illegal sales, dwarfing legal sales. In a few years, not too far away, it's going to be just the opposite. Illegal sales will be probably less than $1 billion in the U.S. by 2026, and the legal sales will be much, much greater, $50 billion estimated, because, you know, why buy it on the street from a gentleman of questionable ethics and morals at a high price when you could buy it when it's regulated, when it's benefiting governments through taxes, and when you could just get it legally. And speaking of legally, the Farm Bill, that was huge. The Farm Bill took hemp and CBD off of Schedule 1 classification. In December 2018, the president signed the $867 billion Farm Bill, which recharacterized hemp from a Schedule 1 drug with high potential for abuse to the lowest level listed drug, Schedule 5, which includes small doses of medicines such as codeine. This allows for mass hemp production in the United States that is federally legal and the ability to move hemp across state lines. lines. Hemp, now what is hemp exactly? It's defined in the United States as cannabis with less than 0.3% of THC content. So CBD, a non-psychoactive cannabinoid found in cannabis, has had a surge in popularity over the past couple of years based on its huge range of potential health benefits and uses. So just to clarify, cannabidiol, CBD, a cannabis compound that has significant medical benefits but does not make people feel stoned. It may, and I'm not a doctor, I cannot confirm this for sure, but it may relieve pain, reduce inflammation, manage anxiety, and reduce seizures and muscle spasms. It can be taken orally, smoked, vaporized, and so on. 10 CBD or cannabidiol oil stocks. If you're interested in that sector, I'm already giving you some actionable ideas. Now, I'm not telling you to buy or not buy these, but these are pretty good, more concentrated, no pun intended, CBD oil stocks. And I'm not saying that these companies are only into CBD oils. I'm saying that's a part of their business, their business ventures. So you've got Isodiol International Inc., ISOL or ISOLF, Pot Network Holdings Inc. And by the way, from now on, if I have two stock tickers listed, it's generally going to be the Canadian one first and the American equivalent second. Pot Network, Pot Network Holdings, POTN, Zynerba Pharmaceuticals, Inc., ZYNE, Medical Marijuana, Inc., MJNA, Tetra Bio Pharma, TBP in Canada, TBPMF in the United States, Neptune Wellness Solutions, NEPT, Afria, we're going to talk more about them for sure, APH. That's been updated as APHA now. GW Pharmaceuticals, GWPH, Cannabis Sativa, Inc., CBDS, and Cannabis Science, Inc., CBIS. Want to talk about 2018. That was a huge year. Five major milestones occurred in cannabis in 2018. First, Canada legalized cannabis for adult recreational use nationwide on October 17. You probably heard about that one. Then, as we just discussed, the Farm Bill in the U.S. was signed into law. This legalized the hemp industry, a cousin of cannabis plant nationwide. Also, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, approved Epidiolex, a cannabinoid-derived medication for use in people with two forms of rare epilepsy. Definitely progress there. Also, five cannabis companies listed their shares for trading on major U.S. exchanges, two on the NASDAQ and three on the New York Stock Exchange. That was big. That's a big deal. Moving into that territory where they get that respect. Of being on a major, highly respected stock exchange. And finally, adult use cannabis sales exceeded medicinal sales for the first time. So the recreational use is exploding. So where is cannabis legal in the United States? Adult recreational marijuana is now legal in 10 U.S. states and the District of Columbia as well. Medical marijuana is legal in 33 states. That's huge. So the states where the adult recreational marijuana use is now legal, that includes Alaska, California, Colorado, District of Columbia, Maine, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington. And there's the map. Let's take a look at that. And I imagine that this map is going to become not just blue, but green. They always seem to pick green as the color. Why is that? For these pot stock infographics, right? Yeah, I imagine we're going to see a lot more green in the near future. So I promised another quiz question. Can you guess which state, according to percentage of the population that used marijuana in the past month, which state is America's marijuana capital, according to percentage of the population that used marijuana in the past month? What do you think? Which U.S. state would that be? Probably thinking California, right? Maybe Colorado, something like that. Nevada, you're thinking? Well, believe it or not, tiny Rhode Island is America's marijuana capital. Who would have thought, right? According to percent of the population using marijuana in the past month. So it's not just concentrated. I keep using that word. It's not just concentrated on the West Coast or certain other areas, all right? By the way, it's Rhode Island first, followed by Alaska, Vermont, Oregon, D.C., Montana, Colorado, Washington, Massachusetts, and New Mexico. Surprise, surprise, okay? But it's a national phenomenon. It really is, okay? But keep in mind, I'm going to give you a caveat here. Before you get too excited and decide to pour all of your capital into marijuana stocks, Keep in mind that marijuana is still illegal federally. It is classified as a Schedule I drug, meaning it has no, currently, this is in quotes, this is not my opinion, no currently accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse, according to the U.S. federal government. You may agree or disagree with that, but that's what the government has on the books right now, like it or not. And yet, even though it's still illegal federally, Americans are buying cannabis and cannabis products. America's marijuana sales in context. This is an infographic that shows that legal marijuana sales absolutely dwarf household goods. Dasani water, DiGiorno pizza, Girl Scout cookies, Oreo cookies, Blue Bell ice cream, Pringles. You sound pretty good, right? Especially after having some of that, I'm going with that joke, right? One thing leads to another, right? But yeah, Twizzlers, Nabisco Wheat Thins. Yeah, I'm getting hungry right now, huh? How about you? So legal marijuana sales are huge. It's bigger than you probably think. And again, the grass is getting greener. Projected growth of U.S. recreational and medical marijuana sales, both the recreational and dark green, always with the green with these infographics. What's that all about? And both with the dark green for the recreational and the light green with the medical, both growing by leaps and bounds over time. There you go. Clint says that's a high number. Once you start making those pot puns, you just can't stop. There you go. It's going to grow. So, again, not telling you to invest or not to, but we can see the writing on the wall. We can see where it's headed. And don't forget about sales of vapes, vaporizers, accessories, etc. Although there is a vaping scandal, which I will discuss. I'm aware of that. Here's a forecast of vaporizers and accessories. This infographic was created before the big vaping scandal of the past month and a half or so. But according to Wells Fargo Securities, we can see where it's going. I mean, by 2022, which is not that far off now, well over $20 billion. So, that's a great area possibly to get into, although, there's a definite caveat with that, which we will discuss. And of course, there's money being made from tax revenues, as I mentioned before. And here's an infographic on that. I mean, we can see the tax revenues already being collected. All right. We're talking about over $300 million collected in Washington, over $300 million collected in California, $266 million collected in Colorado, millions of dollars collected in Nevada, Oregon, Massachusetts, Alaska. I mean, this is a reason for politicians in the future to really consider. They can either spend the taxpayers' money, fighting a legal battle against cannabis use and sales, or instead they could legalize it, regulate it, make sure it's safe to consume, and collect taxpayer money from that. Large corporations are investing. Big, reputable, trusted brand name companies are starting to believe that cannabis is here to stay. Several companies, Altria, Anheuser-Busch, InBev, Molson Coors, Constellation Brands, they've made major financial investments in cannabis companies. These companies, which have a combined market cap of nearly $300 billion, are successful, sophisticated organizations and expert allocators of capital. Yeah, they're not dumb with their money. They see opportunity for investment gains. So if they're doing it, what about you? And I want to talk about a couple of very recent developments. The SAFE Act. You might have heard about that. The Secure and Fair Enforcement, or SAFE Banking Act, which would allow banks and financial institutions to finally be able to work with cannabis businesses, or cannabusinesses, as I sometimes call them, such as providing them with loans. Imagine what cannabis businesses are going through right now in the United States, not being able to get those legalized loans, which small businesses and not so small businesses depend on. So that act, which would make it okay for banks to be able to make loans to cannabis businesses, it's still a bill. It's not a law yet, but it overwhelmingly passed in the U.S. House of Representatives. However, it would also need to pass in the Senate, probably more resistance there, let's be honest, before it gets to the president's desk, if it ever does. So I'll be watching that carefully, and that's something you need to watch as an investor, but it is exciting. And oftentimes you get that first bill, which might get rejected, but that could pave the way in the future for other bills. And yes, the vaping controversy. Investors and consumers punished Juul, the e-cigarette company, for the deaths. Just today, a report, I believe it's up to 37 deaths, if I'm correct. Somebody might want to check me on that stat, but I don't have the exact number in front of me now. But the deaths that have been blamed on vaping. So yeah, investors punished the general e-cigarette space for that. But they also punished cannabis companies. You know, maybe it's right that they punished, you know, the cannabis companies. Maybe it's not right, but they did because it's an associated industry. Hopefully regulations will be clarified soon so that cannabis companies can continue to safely and compliantly sell their products. You know, there's an old saying, this too shall pass. So, you know, if you're going to stay out of cannabis market investing because of the vaping industry scare, you know, I mean, I feel terrible about the deaths and illnesses that have occurred because of vaping. Don't get me wrong. It's tragic. It's terrible. And it's an issue. It's a problem that needs to be addressed. But that doesn't mean that you need to be scared out of your positions, because I think, you know, this too shall pass. I believe there will be clarification, hopefully, and there will be compliance on the part of the smarter cannabis companies, hopefully. No guarantees here. Oftentimes these regulatory hurdles are surmounted at some point. So hopefully that'll happen in the cannabis industry. So the big question is how to allocate your capital. What do I do about this? Maybe you're excited about cautiously investing into cannabis stocks. How do you allocate your capital? Let's talk about regionally. How much to invest in the U.S. versus Canadian cannabis stocks? It's a question I get a lot. And again, if you do have questions about any of this stuff, I do offer to coach people. You can email me for the coaching, davidmodell@gmail.com. So rule number one is to keep your total position sizing in the cannabis sector small, please. Keep it small relative to your total portfolio, because this is a speculative and volatile industry. Okay, please be aware that small position sizing is the key here. For example, this is an example of how volatile it can get. When the executive board at Canopy Growth Corp fired their CEO, Bruce Linton, on July 3rd of this year, a volatile and difficult summer commenced for cannabis stocks. And it's still going on now. It's not the summer anymore, but it's recovered a little bit from the bottom, but not completely. So, excuse me. So we can see how difficult the summer was and how volatile and how challenging it can be at times. And this isn't even the biggest down move in Canopy Growth Corp that I've seen. All right. If you want another example, another longer term example, yeah, you have to learn to expect volatility in cannabis stocks. Here's GWPH, GW Pharmaceuticals. I mean, look at the size of the moves here over time, right? So, you know, these stocks can move literally hundreds of percentage points in both directions, up and down. So this is not for the most timid of investors. You have to be prepared for that. And really the antidote to this, not the antidote, you won't be able to prevent it, but really the way to safeguard yourself somewhat is by small position sizing. So the question remains how to allocate your capital, how much to invest in US versus Canadian cannabis stocks. Well, we already said small amounts, but you know, how do we go about doing that? Well, personally, I like to diversify. When I choose to invest, I tend to invest in a mix of US and Canadian cannabis stocks. You want to have a mix there. However, it's not an equal allocation. Because marijuana is still federally considered illegal across the United States, I will usually tend to favor Canadian over US cannabis stocks. All right. So I'm probably going to buy more Canadian than US cannabis stocks. Not more in terms of number of stocks, but you know, percentage-wise of my portfolio total allocation. In order to have a relatively safe cannabis stock allocation, I diversify, and this is the main theme here. I'm diversifying in two ways, not just geographically, as I just discussed. I'm, you know, diversifying between Canada and the US. So I'm diversifying not only geographically, but also across multiple subsectors of the cannabis industry. So I'm diversifying in two different ways, geographically and across different subsectors, which I will discuss momentarily. And I did mention that's global. And people are constantly asking me, you know, how do I get into, let's say, Europe or Latin America, that kind of thing. There's an emerging global market, Europe, Latin America, the Asia Pacific, for cannabis. And so here's a stock that's pretty good. It's ICC International Cannabis Corp, WRLD.U on the CSE, Canadian Securities Exchange, or in the United States on the OTC market, it is WLDCF. And they already have licenses and distribution networks in certain regions where cannabis is legal already. So that's one recommendation for that. Again, not telling you to buy anything. That's one that you know, some people have used successfully for international exposure. Now, it's important to remember, I never recommend putting your life savings into cannabis stocks. It's smart to keep your, again, position sizes reasonable and never invest money that you might need to use in the near future. All right. Because you know, I showed you those two charts, you know, especially the GWPH, which was a multi-year chart. So you may have to stay in it for the long haul to break even or profit. Also remember, price is important. Do not chase the price action. No chasing allowed. And I tell that to a lot of, I remind my coaching students about that a lot. You know, a lot of them want to buy that, you know, you don't buy high. Right. Speaking of weed stocks, right? You don't buy high. No, but literally you don't buy high as well. You buy low and sell high. That's the idea. So no chasing the price action allowed. All right. Yeah. I mean, GWPH chasers got punished. The value investors did fine if they knew to take profits. And so the people who bought here or here, you know, especially if they bought here, they really got hammered. So no buying high. Whereas if they bought the dips, almost any dip that you bought here was rewarded sooner or later if you just held on. And if you knew when to take profits. And I coach people on that. So you can email me again, davidmodell@gmail.com, if you want that guidance in there. But be aware, I am not a licensed or registered investment advisor. You know, that's why I never tell people what to do. But, you know, I can tell people about my experiences and, you know, what's helped me to stay profitable and to, you know, avoid loss as much as possible. Now, we're going to talk about, you know, subsector, you know, diversifying across multiple subsectors in cannabis. Most people focus solely on the licensed producers or cultivators. You know, most people just invest in the growers, but there are also other subsectors of the cannabis industry that you can get into, especially if you want to diversify across multiple subsectors. So those subsectors include providers of growing aids, hydroponic equipment, lights, soil, fertilizer, and so on, providers of accessories for smoking and vaping, ingesting, etc., the drug developers, biotechs, pharmaceutical companies that invest in other cannabis companies, so the investment companies, cannabis consulting companies, cannabis media companies, cannabis real estate companies, cannabis ag tech, as they call it, agricultural technology companies. You got your cryptocurrency and blockchain companies related to the cannabis sector. Now, that's going to be even more volatile because, you know, cryptocurrency is volatile. Cannabis is volatile. So cryptocurrency and cannabis together, you know, that's for people who don't mind a little bit of volatility, or I should say a lot of volatility. Now, for me, staying safe in my cannabis stock investment means being very selective about what I invest in. Be picky, be selective. I only invest in companies that meet certain criteria. What are those criteria? Well, I'll show them to you right now. Evaluating cannabis companies. My personal criteria include the following. These are questions that I ask myself. And, you know, if there are any red flags here, then I probably won't buy the stock. So if the company produces cannabis, is it a government licensed producer? That's super important. Do they have great visionary leadership and a strong team? Do they have plenty of available capital and not too much debt? Now, notice I said not too much debt. It's possible for cannabis companies to have debt, and yet I might still be interested in them, but you don't want it to be overwhelming. Are they consistently profitable? Or in the case of newer companies, do they at least have a strong prospect of being consistently profitable? All right. Because not all cannabis companies are profitable yet. And in fact, many of them are not. And so you kind of might want to accept that as normal for now, because it's still an industry in its infancy, really. And so it's normal for cannabis companies not to be profitable yet, but do they at least have a strong prospect of becoming consistently profitable? Is there sufficient trading volume? You don't want to buy something that's too thinly traded, all right? So for example, if a company only has, I don't know, 5 shares traded on a given trading day, that's probably not enough. Make sure the price hasn't already run up too much, right? We talked about that. No chasing allowed. You're buying low, not buying high. Now, for smaller companies, is it a potential buyout target? You've probably seen it where a company gets bought out and then the price just skyrockets. Doesn't always happen like that, but oftentimes. And for larger companies, is it a leader in its subsector, in the niche that it's in? You know, it's good to buy the leaders, all right, the bigger companies. So here's another quiz question for you. Can you guess which U.S. state was the very first one to legally ban marijuana use? Give you a moment to think about that one. Probably, well, you got a 1 out of 50 chance on this one, right? So you might get it right. Believe it or not, I probably tricked you again. It's California. Would you believe it? on August 10, way back in 1913, even before I was born, and I'm an old man, back when a new regulation quietly took effect from the State Board of Pharmacy that added locoweed, that's what it was called, to the State Poison Act. That's right, boys and girls, stay away from that locoweed. So there you go. Surprise, surprise, right? And finally, while you must make your own decisions regarding what you choose to invest in, here are some of the stocks and one ETF on my watch list. All right, it's probably what you were waiting for, right? Of course, I kept you hanging until the end. All right, so here's my own watch list, which is subject to change over time. So I promised an ETF, so I'll do that one first. It's called the Horizons Marijuana Life Sciences Index ETF. ETF is an exchange-traded fund. It's like a mutual fund, sort of, except it's kind of better, in my opinion, because you can trade at any time during the trading day, unlike mutual funds, which oftentimes are priced only once a day at the end of the trading day. So you can trade it almost like a stock, but it contains a basket of stocks, in this case, marijuana stocks. So it's HMMJ, if you're in Canada, on the TSX exchange, and it's HMLSF on the OTC American exchange, if you're in the United States. So it is the first well-known cannabis ETF. It has over 50 holdings in the ETF, over 50 companies. So you get some diversification there. And they do diversify, like I do, across subsectors and geographically as well in America and the United States. It includes the top Canadian names, Canopy, Aphria, Aurora, Emblem, Emerald, Organigram, MedRelief, Invictus MD, and so on. I can't name all of them, but you get the idea. And you could always look on their website. Just Google it. You know, you could Google Horizons Marijuana Life Sciences ETF holdings, and eventually you should be able to navigate to the official website and see what their holdings are. It's actually not a bad idea to check that periodically, see, because their holdings are going to change probably over time. Now they're mostly Canadian companies, and I'll show you in the next slide, the allocation across, geographies, and it's a good way to get diversification. The problem with the ETF investing is that there's no flexibility though. You have to own all or nothing of the holdings. That's it. You can't really pick and choose. They do it for you. And so you might prefer to do what I call building your own ETF instead, which means, instead of buying an ETF, what you can do is kind of build your own ETF by picking and choosing the weed stocks that you like the best. But you just have to remember to diversify on your own and do your own due diligence. All right. But I did promise that I would show the geographic allocation for the Horizons ETF. And as you can see in orange here, it's mostly Canadian, but it's got some US in there as well, and Great Britain. All right. But again, this might actually be different by now. This chart, was a while ago. All right. So the ones on my watch list doesn't mean I own them. Doesn't mean that I recommend them, but these are on my watch list. All right. The biggest one, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, as Jeffrey Friedland has called it. Canopy Growth Corp, CGC, or Weed, the biggest cannabis company of all. although Tilray has been called the biggest one by some experts, but still, I do believe Canopy at the moment is the biggest one. A licensed producer with massive growing facilities. You're basically buying a blue chip stock if you buy this one. Then you've got Aurora. These are huge names. These are like the Microsofts and Apples, right, of the pot stock world. ACB, second biggest, another licensed producer with a huge state-of-the-art growing facilities. And they acquired Canamed Therapeutics. GWPH, we talked about that one already. GW Pharmaceuticals, very successful U.S. biopharmaceutical company with plenty of cannabinoid-based products in their pipeline. Cara Therapeutics, Inc., Cara, C-A-R-A. And notice that they're on the NASDAQ. Again, these are the big boys. They're on the big exchanges, which I take to be a good sign. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being on the OTC market, per se, but there is a certain comfort in trading and investing in stocks that do have the those letters NASDAQ in front of it, right? Or NYSE in some cases. So GWPH, we discussed that one. Cara Therapeutics, C-A-R-A, another large U.S. biopharmaceutical company with promising drugs in the clinical trial phase to help alleviate pain. Aphria, of course I'm going to mention that one. APHA, this Canadian licensed producer is too big to ignore. Legally produces massive amounts of of cannabis, and they acquired Nuvera. Hemp Inc. is a smaller one, but if you want some U.S. exposure, this is one way to go. This diverse U.S. company produces industrial hemp products, offers products and services to the medical and recreational marijuana industries, and provides entertainment and news on the web related to the medical marijuana industry. So you're getting some interesting diversification just from this one company. Okay, they're not just a grower like some of the companies are. Agritech Holdings, again, American, again, on the OTC, AGTK. U.S. company involved in the acquisition and leasing of cannabis-related real estate properties. Also offers compliance consulting and distributes hemp-based nutritional products, among other pursuits. Hydroapothecary Corp., THCX, or HYYDF in the United States. A Quebec-based company involved in medical cannabis production, but which also offers extracts, oils, and powders. Cannabis Wheaton Income Corp. And again, these are all on my watch list at the moment. CBW or CBWTF. Now, this is very different. It's a royalty and streaming company that provides capital financing to cannabis companies so that they can expand their capacity or their product lines. You may have heard about or been involved with royalty and streaming companies in gold mining, where they loan startup or growth and expansion funding to gold mining companies in exchange for either part of the profits or some of the product, which for gold mining companies would be gold, of course, at a reduced price. So that's a, you know, for Franco Nevada, for example, that royalty and streaming model has worked quite well. And it's worked for Cannabis Wheaton. So that's an interesting way to get into indirectly into the pot stock domain. Invictus MD, I actually interviewed on my YouTube channel the CEO of Invictus MD. And by the way, if you're interested in checking out my YouTube channel, just type David Modell, M-O-A-D-E-L. Don't do it right now. Wait till all the presentations are finished. Type that into the YouTube search box. I have over 500 videos right now you can watch for free, many of them about pot stocks. So Invictus MD, Gene, G-E-N-E, or I-V-I-T-F in America, in the United States, I should say. Canadian company that provides cannabis products for medical and recreational use. This company also produces and sells fertilizers and nutrients. Organigram, probably guessed I was going to mention that one, right? OGI, that is a big one. Through a number of subsidiaries, this company produces and sells medical marijuana and offers a variety of marijuana plants, seeds, cuttings, cannabis oil, and dried flowers. MedRelief, L-E-A-F, leaf, right? Or M-E-D-F-F, specializes in cannabis oil and extracts, also offers various accessories, including grinders, vaporizers, and lockable containers. You might notice a pattern here. Very few companies nowadays are just growers. A lot of them are diversifying, which is great for your portfolio in terms of diversification if you get into these companies. Now, some others that I keep on my watch list at various times include, and this is not a complete list, all right? And again, if you want more guidance, you can contact me for coaching. You can email me, David Modell, M-O-A-D-E-L, at gmail.com. So others that I include on my watch list at various times include MJNA, Medical Marijuana Inc., Emerald Health Therapeutics, EMH, or EMHTF, INSY, which is Insys Therapeutics Inc., that one's on the NASDAQ, CRON, Kronos Group, big, big company. That one's on the NASDAQ as well, CRON. HIP, New Strike Resources, LTD. Tilray, that's a big one. Some people say that one's as big in terms, by various metrics, that one may be as big as the Canopies and the Afrias and Auroras out there. And Abcan Global Corp, ABCN. So let me recap the concepts from this presentation. First and foremost, rule number one, remember this one? Proper position sizing is rule number one. Diversify not only geographically, but across subsectors within the industry. And that's actually not a bad idea, no matter what you're investing in, but certainly important, I believe, when it comes to cannabis sector investing. Be picky, be selective, have specific criteria for choosing companies. No chasing allowed. Remember I told you that one? Don't chase the price action of the stock, okay? You're not trying to buy something after it's gone up hundreds of percent. I'm not telling you not to. If you want to do that, that's your choice. It's not something that I tend to want to do. And have mentors, but make the final decisions yourself and take charge of your finances. All right. I act as a mentor to many people and will continue to do so. I'll be proud to be your mentor. If you want to contact me by email, we can work that out. But at the end of the day, you know, only invest in a company that you've researched, that you're happy with, you think they have great expansion prospects, and remember all the criteria that I listed in that slide there on, you know, how I evaluate these stocks. You want to look that over. All right. You want them not to have any glaring red flags, because there are too many choices now in the cannabis sector industry to choose and put your hard-earned capital into a stock or a company that's having problems. You don't need to do that anymore. So what are the next steps? Well, you want to form a plan for your trading or your investing. You know the old saying, you can either, put it this way, if you fail to plan, then you're planning to fail, okay? So you could either plan beforehand, or you can guess and go, but, you know, guessing and going is not the most successful way to do it, in my opinion. Before you invest in anything, you want to have a plan and know your, you know, basically have a roadmap for where you want to go. And I do help people with that through my coaching. You want to learn to select the right stocks for your portfolio, because everybody's going to be different. Everybody has different risk tolerance, different account size, different financial objectives. You want to identify entry and exit points for your trades. Another thing I help people with. I mean, I maybe help you to decide or narrow down your choice of which stocks are going to go on your watch list today, but when do you get in? When do you get out? How do you decide? That's something I help people with. Minimize risk and maximize your potential for gains. Small position sizing is one way to do it, to minimize risk. There are other things you can do as well. And of course, contact me. If you'd like to visit my blog, David Modell, dot blogspot.com, or you can contact me by email, davidmodell@gmail.com. I'm very proud to be able to help people. And, I've helped a lot of people not only to make money, but to avoid losing money. And hopefully people will contact me before they lose money. But if you have, it's okay. You don't have to be embarrassed. I've helped a lot of people who have experienced capital loss. And, you know, at least that way they don't have to lose anymore, and they can have a plan, and they can know where they're going and hopefully be profitable going forward. So I want to thank, everybody for watching and listening. If you have any questions or comments right now, I'm going to pull up the chat, and, everybody having an amazing Halloween, and be careful out there, folks, no matter what you're doing, whether it's investing in cannabis stocks or any stock, be careful, please, for goodness sake. And if there are no questions, then I'll turn it back to the host.
Thank you, David. Great presentation.
Absolutely.
And, hey, David. Anka? I just wanted to say hi.
Oh, hello. Hey.
Hi, David. It was a great presentation as always, and I liked that. I liked what you said right at the end. Like, okay, be careful.
Yeah, Halloween is one of those times of year when scary things happen. Yeah. And if you don't believe me, look at the stock market right now. Look, I see some.
Historically speaking, the market should have been a little bit up today, but no, we're having some relative weakness in Russell. Wow, over 1% down.
Yep. So it looks like there's some scary things happening this Halloween. So, safety first, right? A lot of people.
Absolutely.
Warren Buffett once said, rule number one, don't lose money. Rule number two, see rule number one. So that's something I abide by. And, hopefully we're all doing that this year.
Oh, absolutely. It was so great having you today.
Absolutely. And hopefully, you guys do this again next year, or please mm-hmm. contact, let me know beforehand for the next one. Because, I speak not just on the pot stocks.
I know. You're a great asset.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Go ahead and stop the recording here.